Today, ladies and gentlemen, where truth and the very foundations that undergird our civilized society are under constant attack. We've all, I shouldn't say all, but I think we've all heard this week what's going on in Israel. By the way, don't despair about that. That just means we're closer.
Right.
Amen. Amen. But just imagine, if you would, rockets flying and landing in your neighbor's yard. Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you there's a more concerted effort right here in our land on the foundations of our society. And on it goes. This constant attack is accomplished for the most part by Satan's tenured professors of theology, also known as seducing spirits. And they teach their material, they have their curriculum, and their curriculum are what the scriptures referred to as doctrines of devils. Doctrine is simply teaching. By the way, God pity the church that doesn't preach and teach doctrine. Doctrine is important, ladies and gentlemen. I have never found. I know there are some people that have. I mentioned last Sunday night. Well, we had a good time preaching last Sunday night. Talked about when I first got saved. I remember when I first went into my first Bible class in college, and I took doctrines. And there were people in there that were bored to tears. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how you could be bored studying about God. Amen. And how wonderful He is. Amen. And studying about the personal attributes. Studying about the Lord Jesus Christ and how He was both 100% man and got weary. And He was 100% God. I like the way the song puts it in the chorus. He was so much man that He slept in a boat. And He was so much God that the winds and waves He controlled.
Amen.
You know what that is? That's doctrine. That's doctrine. Over and over in the pastoral epistles, Paul tells Timothy and Titus to give attendance to doctrine. But we're talking about a different kind of doctrine here, ladies and gentlemen. Doctrines of devils. And we see these doctrines of devils all over, all around us. We see them in visual news. We see them in the printed page. Brother Leonard and I were talking the other day just about editorials and things like that, and it's amazing how left-leaning the editorial pages are. And then they throw a conservative in there once a month.
Yeah.
Entertainment, oh my, that is the haven for seducing spirits. And that is, listen, that is the advanced classroom for doctrines of devils.
Amen.
Entertainment. Commercials. By the way, Brother Ouellette gave one of the best pieces of advice I've ever heard. He was talking about how at his house, they always mute commercials. And I thought, my heavens, that's a great idea. And then one time, we were at home and I didn't mute the commercial. And my little boy said, "Now, Daddy, I think we need to buy whatever it was as seen on TV." I don't know what it was. It was something. He said, "Daddy, I think we need that." And I thought, I think we need to mute commercials. Amen? That's a good piece of advice. By the way, there's a lot of commercials that not only need to be muted, they need to be shut off. We think of public education. And listen, I know we have teachers, and I know there are good teachers and there are good school systems out there. But by and large, ladies and gentlemen, you take one of the doctrines of devils, and I'm not necessarily talking about it today, evolution. And that is not only promoted and promulgated, but it's simply taught as fact in our public school system. I think of course, quote-unquote, higher education. I like what Lester Olof said. He said, "Higher education's brought lower living."
Amen.
I agree with that. And they accomplished this through Things like relativism. They say, what's relativism, preacher? It means that there are no moral absolutes. You see this a lot as people are trying to banish, and we'll talk about it, they're trying to banish God, trying to banish Christianity out of our history. And by the way, thank God we had founders that believed in God. By the way, they weren't all Christians. Don't buy that. There were some that weren't. There were some that were. But they all had a God consciousness. They knew that providence had given them this land. And I'm so thankful because weaved throughout our history is God. But when you get into this argument, you say, we don't need any religion. We don't need any moral absolutes. And I like to have fun at some points. When you're not going to convince somebody, you might as well have a little fun.
That's right.
You mean like, thou shalt not kill?
Yeah.
That's a moral absolute. Thou shalt not steal? Well, that's different. No, it's not.
Right.
It comes from that book right there.
Yeah.
Amen. And so they push relativism. Something else they push, and just going through the isms, amen, relativism, they are pushing secularism. Just getting rid of God out of everything. And don't we see that, ladies and gentlemen, in our court system? That people are bringing lawsuits for. I think about the cross that stood in San Francisco this morning. We got to get rid of that. It's an endorsement of religion. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we are a religious republic. And we always have been. We're not France. You know, in France, when you take a position with the government, you can't even mention God. In America, after tragedy strikes our land, our president can say, pray for America and pray that God will bless America. The Supreme Court starts off with the phrase, Oyez, 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 come to order. God save the United States of America in this honorable court. The Senate begins with prayer. Oh, I understand the prayers are getting to be a little confusing. But we're a religious republic. So they come in with secularism, humanism. Say, what's humanism? Could I sum up humanism in four words? Humanism humanizes God and deifies man. That's what humanism does. Humanism brings God down and exalts man. And by the way, if you want the Bible's antithesis of humanism, it's Romans 1:22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Then we have feminism. By the way, it's amazing how unfeminine feminists are. Listen, people, you're anti-woman. I am not. My mother's a woman. I married a woman. I got a woman for a daughter. Amen. I'm in favor of women. Listen to me, though. Feminism is not about women. It's about blurring gender differences. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, they're using it. Feminism. Atheism, of course. On the rise. Somebody said it's the fastest growing religion, which is kind of an oxymoron. Amen? But they say atheism. You know what atheism is? Angry at those of us that believe in God and trust God. Atheism. Socialism. That is that the state is responsible to provide. Can I say this? In America, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are the government.
Amen.
We're the government. Listen, it's not an anti-government message. We're the government. Of, by, and for the people. And we're the people. And if you want proof, look at your pay stub at the end of the week and you'll see FICA and state tax and federal tax. That's proof positive that you and I are the government. Because we fund it. But socialism says we need to take from you, Brother Lawley, and feed that one who can work but won't work.
That's right.
See, there's a big difference, folks. We're a compassionate people. We are. America's a compassionate people. If there are folks that are legitimately disabled, you know what? We're in their corner. We're in their corner. But if you can work and won't work, the Bible says if any wouldn't work, then he shouldn't eat. And there's a lot of folks that can. Miss Kim's not here today. We have gotten a scam call from the Yellow Pages. It's not the real yet. It's a scam. They have called us for a solid 2.5 years. They call us every now and again. They say, your bill's delinquent. You owe $940 or whatever. And to the point now where I just have fun with them every time they call. I have fun. It's terrible. I know. Pray for me, okay? I need to repent. Amen. These are people, Brother Randall, that are working hard at scamming. Every time they call or send us an email, and we just refer the matter to the NCLL, our attorneys, and they tell me that last week Stephen Mayer authorized this. Does anybody get the irony there? Yeah. Pastor Mayer hasn't been with us since 2010. That's how I know it's a scam. I mean, they work hard at scamming, and you're thinking, if you could just channel that into working hard, you'd make a lot of money. Socialism says, well, we need to pull the Robin Hood and rob from the rich to pay for the poor. Really, ladies and gentlemen, all these isms, they fall into a really black category. And it's Satanism. Satan. What is Satanism? You can find Satanism in the Garden of Eden. Here's Satanism. Yay? If God said, did God really say that? And if He did He mean that? They say, what's Satanism? It's sowing seeds of doubt. Sowing seeds of doubt. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. What is Satanism? It's Satan bulging with pride, saying, I'm going to be God. Thank God, God said, I don't think so. I don't think so. And we see it here in our text in verse 1. Look at verse number 1, please, church. It says there, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 15 tells us that literally Satan's evil fallen angels can be transformed into angels of light. And so it tells us here, ladies and gentlemen, these principles of Satanism, he sows doubt, he's bulging with pride, he lies. He lies about things. And we see here in our text, if you look at verses 15, 16 before, just by way of introduction, we see the great exhortation in verse 15. What's the great exhortation? How we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God, which is the church, the pillar and ground of the truth. And may I say this, and I appreciate, listen, our young men that come on the bus. I appreciate it, amen. I appreciate you young men that come, our young ladies, amen. By the way, I appreciate a church that funds a bus ministry, amen. But listen, there's a way you ought to behave yourself in church, and then there's things we ought not to do in church. Amen. I am constantly telling my 6-year-old and my 4-year-old, In this room, don't run. And some of you look at me. It's always the grandmas. The grandmas look at me and say, you be kind to those children. I'm going to tell you something. If we were to go back 25 years and those were your kids, you'd probably be wearing them out in the bathroom right now. Amen? That's right. But now that you've got grandpa-itis, or grandma-itis, amen. No, and by the way, I appreciate your patience with our young people, church. We're trying to teach them. We're working with them. This says right here, there's a great exhortation that there are things in church that are right, and there are things in church that are not right. I'm not going to go to seed here, but I'm still for dressing right when you come to church. Hey, listen, this is the house of God, amen. What? To be, look right. Oh, it's not our look so much it says, I understand God looks on the heart, but none of us are God, so we look on the outside, amen. Just, it's okay. Say, I don't have much. Wear the best you got.
Amen.
And just have the attitude that I'm going to worship God with my wallet, with my heart, and with my clothes too.
Amen.
Great exhortation. But then we see in verse 16 the great declaration, don't we? Oh, what a verse. What a verse. This is one of those nutshell verses in the Bible. Like John 3:16. It's amazing because it is a 3:16 verse. 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God says here, no doubt about it, the mystery of godliness is great. And here it is. God was manifest in the flesh. Brother Sammons is doing his series on the King James Bible. It's amazing, Brother Tom, how they always want to mess with that verse, don't they? Because God was manifest in the flesh. And we learn all about that in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's doctrine, ladies and gentlemen. What's that doctrine? That Jesus Christ is God. That's the rock of our doctrine right there. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed up on in the world, received up into glory. Oh, I think of that song, One Day. That's one of those songs in the hymnal, page 192. You can't just sing one verse. You can't just say, hey, let's sing the first and last on that one, Brother Leonard. You got to sing all five. Because it takes you right through the story. One day when heaven was filled with His praises. One day when sin was as black as could be. Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin. Dwelt amongst men. My example is He. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified. Freely forever. One day He's coming. Oh, glorious day. And it goes on and on. It follows the story there. The great declaration. The great exhortation. And then we see in verse number 1 of chapter 4, the great seduction. The great seduction. Thinking about that there, it says at the end of the verse, some shall depart from the faith. Leave. Some of you have been saved 40 and 50 and 60 years. You have watched folks literally leave out the door and never come back. How does that happen? The great seduction. We give heed to seducing spirits. We not only listen, but we give assent to what they say. We nod our heads. I think of, and again, I need to move, but I think of how that happens. You raise your children right, and you send them off to a higher university, and that professor in the first semester undoes everything that you worked for 18 years to work in your child as far as their faith in God. And they sit there like this. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, God help us. You see the Spirit's direction here in verse 1. It says He speaketh expressly. That's the only time that phrase is used. Then we see the sure departure. They draw away. They withdraw. They depart. Then we see the seducing devils. And ladies and gentlemen, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan sends out his seducing spirits with their doctrines of devils to affect the thoughts and hinder the work of God and keep people in hell for all eternity. Let it never be said, ladies and gentlemen, attitudes affect actions, and attitudes are developed from thoughts. And that's where Satan works the hardest. I want to talk to you today about doctrines of devils, and I'm going to have to move. My heavens, I'm looking at the time here. I've got 3 points and a whole lot of sub-points, so you just stay with me. Doctrines of devils in society, first of all. Secondly, doctrines of devils about the Scriptures. And thirdly, doctrines of devils amongst the saints. Doctrines of devils in society. Let me just give you a few of them. And folks, I can't tarry long on these. I could preach entire messages on each one of these. Let me give you doctrines of devil. Drink responsibly. That's the doctrines of devils. You know why? Because there's some people that swallow that hook. Well, I'm just going to drink responsibly. And they start out, Brother Hirth, with every intention to drink responsibly. And the next thing you know, they put away 12 beers and get behind the wheel. When I was in Bible college, there was a story that we heard from Crown College, fine school down in Tennessee. Fine school. Yeah. Brother Sexton, godly man. Where Brother Mike, a drunk driver, completely out of his faculties, didn't have his headlights on, crossed the center lane, killed 3 Bible college girls, and walked away. Just got up and walked. Drink responsibly. That's a doctrine of devils, ladies and gentlemen. And I cannot tell you the amount of times where I've had sinners challenge me on that, but I've had Christians try to justify that. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs chapter 23 says, look not on the wine when it is red. Not only don't drink it, don't even look at it. Drink responsibly. That's a doctrine of devils. No such thing. The only way to drink responsibly is not to drink. Number one, drink responsibly. Let me give you probably the most popular one, and I've preached on it so many times, and I'll continue to preach on it. We hear it in our society, ladies and gentlemen. Love is love. Love is love. It's a justification for homosexuality is what it is. It's a doctrine of devils. How do you know, Pastor? Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. You know what that tells me? There's a difference between marriage and adultery. So love is not just love. Marriage is marriage. Honorable. And by the way, Jesus tells us what a marriage is in Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6. He said, a man shall leave father and mother. Not father and father. Not mother and mother. A man shall leave father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, not unto his husband. Love is love. That's a doctrine of devils, ladies and gentlemen. It's a doctrine of devils. Let me give you another one. My body, my choice. We've been hearing that one for 40 years. By the way, sidebar. This is a problem when an activist court takes issues out of the hands of the people. Because abortion was being decided state by state like it should have. If you wanted one and you lived in California, you could get one. I'm not for them, amen? But that's the way our government works. Now we have just a federalized 40 years. And by the way, are we any more unified on that issue than we were 40 years ago? No, we're not. Psalm chapter 10, verse 8 says, they murder the innocent in secret. My body, my choice. Excuse me. Excuse me, ma'am. Excuse me. That baby has a 50% chance of being a completely different sex than you.
Amen.
Has its own heartbeat, blood supply. Amen. Could we keep going?
Amen.
My body, my choice. That's a doctrine of devils. It's a doctrine of devils. How about this one? I'm not hurting anybody. You know what that's a justification for? Pornography. Pornography. I'm not hurting anybody. Matthew 24:12 says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And then it says in 2 Timothy 3:13, but seducers and evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. So you are hurting somebody because you're making society worse.
Right.
You are. There's an entire entire trade in the world called the slave trade. And it tells me that that little habit that some people have and think is just fine is hurting somebody. All over the world, hurting people. It's a doctrine of devils. I'm not hurting anybody. Let me give you another one. Well, it's the law, so I guess we just got to obey it. Now listen, please. We record all our sermons. I am not advocating lawlessness. I'm not advocating you driving down Elm Street, driving 70 miles an hour because you think that 25 is an unjust law. That's foolishness. And I'll see you at the courthouse. Amen. I'll probably bow my head and say, yes, he was a member of my church, but I didn't tell him to go 70. Amen. No, I'm talking about when they say you can't preach the gospel anymore on the street. I'm talking about when they say you can't pass out tracts anymore. That's when we say we ought to obey God rather than men.
Amen.
Acts 5:29. Here's another one. Boy, this is destined to get me some glares, but I'm going to have to do it anyway. Animals have rights too. I think that some of you are laughing right now. Some of you are laughing to cover up that you are mad as a hornet at me right now. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me. I'm not against Fluffy. I love to kid about my mom's dog. She sees me down there petting them, trying to see if they'll drink. No, I like those dogs. We had a cat for 8 years, and I was Mr. I never have a cat. I hate cats. I can't. That cat would sit right on my chest and purr and all that. But you better listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. You better listen to me. I worked with a lady years ago, gospel truth, Uncle Joe. She said if I had a choice between saving a baby or a puppy, she said I'd save the puppy. You want to know how I know that doctrine of devil is real? Because she said that. And there's all kinds of people all out there. And her rationale was that baby could grow up to be a murderer or a Hitler, and I came right back and said, or he could cure cancer. Or, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm all for Fluffy, but I want to tell you what Jesus did when he, after he was resurrected, he brought some fish, didn't he?
Amen.
Amen. And he told Peter when he saw the sheet, Peter said, I've never eaten anything that's unclean. He says, have some pork chops, Peter. It'll be okay.
Right.
Animals, I like PETA. People eating tasty animals. That's what I like, PETA. Amen. I don't have time to go any further. They're pushing that men and women are exactly the same. That's got to be the dumbest one of all. I've yet to see a man have a baby, and all the ladies said,
amen.
And all the guys said,
amen.
We're not the same, amen. God made us different. Oh, by the way, there is a wonderful equality in marriage. But God still set up the order. Man's in charge. I'm sorry, ladies, if you don't like it, you shouldn't have ate the apple. Amen? Somebody said one time, they said, where would we be if it weren't for you men? And the man came back and said, where would we be if it weren't for you women? We'd be in the garden, enjoying everything. Now listen, I'm not trying to stir it up. We're different. I'm glad we're different.
Amen.
I'm glad we're different. Doctrines of devils in society. Let me give you some doctrines of devils about the Scriptures. You've heard these. I know you have. Here's the first one. We're all children of God. We're all children of God. Aren't we? Well, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you're of your father, the devil. And the works of your father you do. Paul later on would clear up the whole matter in Galatians 3:26. He said, for you're all the children of God, comma, by faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're all children of God. I mean, after all, and that's a doctrine of devil, ladies and gentlemen, about the Scriptures. Let me give you another one. Doctrine of devil about the Scriptures. The Bible's full of contradictions. The Bible is full of contradictions. You ever had somebody say that to you? By the way, here's the proper response. Show me one.
Yeah.
They start firing off like a machine gun. No, they're just polyparroting what somebody else told them. Now listen, does the Bible have some difficult passages? Amen. Absolutely. The Bible's just full of contradictions. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Peter 1:21 says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. As for God, His way is perfect. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. God's not going to contradict Himself. He's the one that put it all together. It's a doctrine of devil, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible's just full of contradictions. How about this one? You've heard it. A loving God would never send anybody to hell. It's a doctrine of devils, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Because they don't want you to consider hell. It's a doctrine of devils. Why? Because the Bible says, for whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. A loving God allowed His Son to endure hell on the cross. You know what that tells me? He thinks it's pretty serious. You think about what Jesus went through. That would all be vain if there were no hell. But there is a hell, ladies and gentlemen. How about this one? Most famous one of the day. Judge not. Judge not. You're just a bunch of judgmental Christians. You ought to read the rest of that passage. It's all about making proper judgments. How do you know, Pastor? Well, it's later on it goes on to say, ye shall know the tree by its fruits. You know what that takes? Judgments. Judgment. Oh, it's saying there, hey, get the splinter out of your own eye. Or get the beam, get the telephone pole out of your own eye before you pick out the splinter in your brother's eye. And then you'll be able to see clearly. But if you're walking with God, ladies and gentlemen, if you're trying, you're confessing sin, you're keeping short accounts. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:15, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Amen. We make judgments. Judge not. You can't judge me. Only God can judge me. Well, I'm a fruit inspector. And I just know that corrupt fruit doesn't come off a good tree. It's not difficult for me to see that homosexuality is wrong. It's a corrupt fruit. Everything about it is corrupt. You're so judgmental. Judge not. That's a doctrine of devil. Isn't it amazing? By the way, Satan tried this in Matthew chapter 4. He'll take a scripture and pull it out of context. Didn't he say to Jesus, oh, just go ahead and cast yourself down. Because your angels will give you charge over thee. He's pulling it out of context. Judge not. How about this? Oh, heaven help us. There are churches today. We don't need that gory story. We don't need this bloody religion. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, ladies and gentlemen. No remission. How about you Christians don't follow all the Bible? You ever heard that one? I heard that one a lot. Because if you did, you wouldn't eat shellfish. And you wouldn't wear mixed fabrics. And you... Listen, these are all Levitical laws. Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, we're not Levites. Second of all, we're not Old Testament Israel. Amen. Third of all, the Bible teaches us to rightly divide the Word of God. We're not under the law. Jesus Christ pinned the law to the cross. Amen? Amen. All those Levitical laws that had to be kept. Well, let's say, well, you don't keep it. Doctrines of devils about the Scriptures. Doctrines of devils about society. Now, we've had a lot of amens. We've had fun. Don't shut me off now. Let me give you some doctrines of devils from the saints. Preacher's always talking about money. Preacher's always talking about money. Have I mentioned money until this point? That means I'm not always talking about money. So there are people right now that are out of church because they say they have given heed to a doctrine of devil. And they say, well, the preacher's always talking about money. He's just always after my money. It's sad. It's sad, ladies and gentlemen. Because it's not true. Now, by the way, I am after it for missions. I am after it for the work of God, for tracts, for things that we can get out. Just like I'm after you to give yourself a living sacrifice. Amen. I like what I heard. The old man that was about to get baptized got saved later in life. And he got ready to get baptized and he had his wallet in his pocket. And the preacher noticed. He said, oh, you better take your wallet out. He said, nope, that needs to be baptized too. Amen. I like it. Folks, a preacher's not always talking about money. He wants you to give yourself. If you give yourself, money's not a big issue. And at our church, good night. I hope I don't, because our giving's fantastic. It just really is. I've mentioned it so many times. I have so many preachers that call me and, preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do this week. I got a $4,000 budget and I had $2,200 come in the offering and I may have to lay myself off and all this. And then they say, how's things going for you? And I almost don't want to tell them because they're going so good. How about another doctrine? Who are you, preacher, to talk about the way I dress? I'm just a man of God. I'm just a man of God. Trying to preach the Word of God. Trying to hold high the standards of God. Because I see what happens when you don't. Church out east started going to that come as you are crowd. By the way, I'm not against sinners coming as they are. I just don't want them to leave the same way. Well, they started catering to this come as you are crowd. And they'd have young men come and take the offering in ripped jeans and t-shirts. Young ladies, Brother Horsch, would come to the altar with half shirts. And this dear lady said, my heavens, you had to throw an army blanket over them to have any sort of modesty and decency. Yeah. Listen, don't fall for that doctrine of devils. I go out. And listen, I'm not always just walking around like this. I don't do that, amen. I've got enough issues, amen, of myself. I can just walk around with a mirror and just do this all day, amen. I understand. But the more and more I see Christian activities, the more and more I see dress tightening up, lower cut. Listen, folks, let's just be Christians.
Amen.
Let's just be Christians. These are doctrines of devils that creep in. That preacher's nobody. He can't tell me how to dress. And listen, I'm trying to do what God would have me to do.
Right.
Trying to steer the ship straight.
Amen.
I've heard this one so many times, and I'm not talking about you understand, I'm not talking about legitimate. Preacher, we're not going to be here tonight. We're tired. Listen, I'm not talking about legitimate. You know. Amen. Miss Barb travels so much, taking care of her mom. Listen, I'm not talking about when you're legitimately sick. Somebody say amen. I'm not talking about when you legitimately have to work. But honestly, what you're doing is you are giving yourself an out where God has said, gather together.
Amen.
And you don't realize it. You don't realize what it does. You don't realize what it does to your family. You don't realize what it does to the family of God. I promise you, you have no idea what it does to me. And I'm not just saying point at me. But this business of we can miss church for anything has got to go. It's a doctrine of devils. That's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care who likes it, who lumps it, who gets mad at me. Listen, one day the Lord's going to come back, and I hope it's on a Sunday when somebody says, we're just not going to be there.
Amen.
Now, if you think that I'm not dealing with, I understand if you're sick. I understand if you're completely spent. Think about Brother Ken, what you and your family have been going through in these last weeks, I understand. But this business of, we're not going to be here because Johnny's got a hangnail, it's just, it's a doctrine. Let me just tell you how you can recognize doctrines of devils. I'll be done with this. And just let me give you an application. Doctrines of devils make it easy to sin. That's what they do. You can recognize a doctrine of devil like that. It makes you easy to sin. It makes it where it relieves us from spiritual responsibility. There are people that have never been soul winning since I've been here. You've convinced yourself that you're exempt. You're not. Amen. You're not. You're not exempt. Go ye into all that we're all supposed to go. Now, you may not come for set, but I promise you, you better have gospel tracts with you. Take them with you where you go. Doctrines of devils produce apathy. You know why churches are dying? Membership is getting apathetic. Who cares if we have vacation Bible school? Who cares if we run a bus? Thank God we don't. Amen? Thank God we care. It confuses our peculiarity. Christians, we're supposed to be weird in this world. It's okay. You say, man, I fit. I'm weird anyway. I am too. Amen? We're supposed to be peculiar people. We're supposed to be different than everybody else. We should talk different. We shouldn't listen to all the filthy jokes. We should dress different. We should have places where we don't go that the world goes. Because we're Christians. You know what the doctrines of devils do? They keep us from commitment. And that's the saddest thing of all. I think of all the times I've listened to doctrines of devils. Say, Pastor, have you ever given heed? I sure have. I sure have. I wished I hadn't. But I know I have. They keep us from committing ourselves. Why? Satan doesn't mind if you sit here today. He doesn't mind if you give. He doesn't mind if you occasionally serve God. But what he really minds is when you get committed. When you really get committed to the cause of Christ. Doctrines of devils compromise our testimony. Think of Lot. Listen, he was one of God's. And when he told his sons, listen, I've just got a message from God. He's going to destroy this place. His sons-in-law that had married his daughters, they laughed at him. You know God? Yeah, right. Shut the door. And he lost his family. Why? Because he compromised his testimony. Doctrines of devils will get you to compromise your testimony. Listen, you somewhere on Sunday besides church is compromising your testimony. Because people, I'm glad my neighbors know the times where we're sick. That they, boy, I saw your car on Sunday. Yeah, I was sick as a dog. I can't believe it. I missed two services this year. Sick. I'm glad my neighbor sees that. I want him to see every week the driveway's clear.
Amen.
You know what really doctrines of devils do? Sum it all up. In society, in the scriptures, from the saints, they weaken the authority of this book. That's what they do. When you and I give heed to doctrines of devils. And by the way, it is okay in your heart right now. I pray that you're not mad at me. I hope you're not mad at me. But if you are, I just hope you'll deal with it.
That's right. Amen.
Just deal with it. Just say, you know what? I have been given heed. I have been given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I'm guilty of some of that. Listen, that's what I did when I prepared this message. Had to deal with myself. But we don't realize that when we start ignoring Bible commands, gentlemen, our wives watch us. And our children watch us. And faithful saints watch us. Oh, I don't mean they're going like this. Writing down that you're disobeying. No, but they see. Oh, listen, ladies and gentlemen, let's not give heed. Let's not give... They're out there, seducing spirits, probably in this room right now. How do we combat them? Let me just give you the application, and it's as simple as this. Read, study, live, give preeminence to, and obey this book. Matthew 7:24. I'll liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. The floods came and the winds came and it was not blown. Why? Because it was founded upon the rock. What is that man? That he hears the word of God and does it. You say, well, we all fall short. I know that. Trust me, do I ever know that? But you know what? When we fall short, we come to God and we say, I was wrong. Amen. Help me. Help me to obey this book. Maybe I hadn't been leading my family. Maybe I've been giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Father, forgive me. Help me to take up the reins and to know what you said. Because you know what? When seducing spirits comes and doctrines of devils, when you know this book, you can fight them off. When somebody comes and says love is love, I could say Romans 1 is in the Bible. When somebody comes and says my body, my choice, I could say I could take you back into Leviticus. I could take you into Psalms chapter 139 that says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. When they come and say the Bible's full of contradictions, I could say no, it's not. I've studied it. I've read it, and you can too. Doctrines of devils. They're all around us. Let's not give heed. Let's not depart from the faith. Father,